That's a quite different one, actually. Perhaps not very
Okay.
afterlife related, but it might be. So
Okay.
we'll try it. It's a question from Peter, who wrote to me that recently he saw a headline of an interview with some actress who said, "I'm keeping the dark away," or "keeping the dark side away," and that made him think. Aren't you more much more whole human being if you embrace both sides of yourself? In Peter's opinion, you're a much better person if you can and will handle both sides, because there's no dark without light, and both sides are needed for a whole and unique person. And he'd like to know your views on that.
Well, I completely agree with him. And my own experience of that is also related in, I think, the third book. But my own experience of that is that all of us have parts of ourselves that we're not too proud of. We all have parts of ourselves that we might hide from others because we're concerned about what other people might think if they know that I have these kinds of feelings or thoughts, or I'm this kind of person or that kind of person. And when we do that, when we hide those parts of ourselves from other people, it's, in my view, from my experience of having gone through that, what we're really doing is denying that those parts of ourselves are real, denying that they have a right to exist, denying that they have any useful role to play in our lives. And these are parts of ourselves that we may actually lose touch with to the point that we're not even conscious that we are that person. A silly example. There are sometimes, at least in my past, it never happens now. There are sometimes that I would say that things that happen around me can cause me to be in a murderous rage. Some years ago, I was in that state of mind when a psychologist, well, it's a long story, but suffice it to say that I had a strong disagreement with a psychologist as to how my 7-year-old son should be treated and with what kinds of drugs. And if I could have reached through the telephone and got him by the throat, I would still be in prison. So this. There is this part of Bruce that I would say is someone who is in a murderous rage. And it's a part of myself that I certainly didn't want to expose people to, partly because I thought I was really a dark side of myself. It was a part of myself that should never be allowed to see the light of day. And so I never would even talk about such a thing with someone. And if I began to have those feelings, I would do everything I could do to talk myself out of having those feelings. But I completely agree with the person who asked the question. It made me a less whole human being because there are particular situations where being someone who is in a murderous rage would be entirely appropriate to the situation. I mean, for example, I'm walking down the street at night and with my wife, and someone walks up with a knife and says, "Give me your purse and give me your wallet," and stabs my wife. I think it's completely and totally appropriate that I be in a murderous rage and kill the mofo. So maybe it's an extreme, silly example,
Yeah, but it's a useful side
but
in that situation.
yeah, you know, in a particular situation, under certain circumstances, it's a useful side. Now, one of the dangers, in my view, of trying to separate those parts of myself and deny their existence is that I may actually create what I call an aspect of myself. I may sort of spin off a kind of small version of Bruce, or a narrower personality version of Bruce that is just a being that's always in a murderous rage. And I may actually manage to spin off that fragment or aspect of myself to the point that I'm no longer ever consciously aware that I have that trait, or that that is a part of me. It certainly doesn't have to be as dramatic as a murderous rage. It could be anything. It could be any part of myself that I don't want to know about. If I manage to spin that part of myself off, separate myself from that fragment of myself, or what I call an aspect of myself, thoroughly enough, what may actually happen is that when I physically die, I may leave that aspect of myself within an area of consciousness very close to physical reality. And that aspect of myself will appear to be a separate being who is just a person in a murderous rage. Now, if I have died and left that part of myself here, separated myself from that aspect of myself, when I die, I may leave that part of myself here. And now, someone who understands the art of retrieval, someone who's been trained or learned how to do retrieval, in a retrieval exercise may come across that part of me, maybe, think that it's a whole human being when it's really just a fragment of a human being, and use what they've learned to retrieve that fragment of me, so that that fragment of me can, in essence, rejoin me as a more whole being in whatever afterlife area of consciousness I presently exist. And I become a more whole being. I'm less fragmented. Now, throughout our lives, I mean, I certainly had quite a number of parts of myself that for a long time I had separated myself from so successfully that if I had died, I'd have left them here as aspects. And if nobody else could retrieve them, I'm half convinced that one of the reasons some of us reincarnate is to come back into physical reality so that we can retrieve those aspects of ourselves back into ourselves before we die, so that when we do, we take more of ourselves with us and we are a more whole, integrated being. In my, like I say, I'm at least half convinced that part of the reason for reincarnation is to retrieve these aspects of self. And in fact, the third workshop that I teach is a workshop in which people learn to retrieve aspects of self from our present lifetime and also from past lifetimes. And in my experience, as I began to, I mean, it's really all about self-acceptance. It's all about self-love. I mean, if you can't love every part of yourself and accept every part of yourself as worthy to exist, in my view, you're in trouble. you are not a whole integrated being. And there are parts of you that you've left scattered here and there. And at some point, in order to be a more whole human being, you're going to have to retrieve those aspects of yourself.
That reminds me, I've come across people who, when I tell them about your workshops and what you teach, they get this very frightened look on their face and say, "Oh, you shouldn't mess with those things yourself. You should have a therapist guide you through this retrieving the aspects of yourself, because certain aspects could surface that will cause traumas and get you in a state that you can't recover from yourself." How do you feel about that? That warn
How
those
do I feel about
warnings
that?
that you shouldn't mess with these things yourself. You must have heard them before.
Oh yes, I've heard those before. And I've also witnessed what happened when you what happens when you decide not to to take that advice. First of all, I would say that there may be a grain of truth in not messing with those things. Only because I think someone who doesn't understand what they're doing and doesn't understand the potential impact, how this can affect your own identity and how it can affect your beliefs and how it can affect who you are. I think someone who might will say just be playing with this without any knowledge of what they're doing may they may encounter an aspect of themselves that when they retrieve that aspect causes what I call a belief system crash, which is a shrink might call an identity crisis. When we retrieve such an aspect of ourselves so that it comes back into us, it becomes a part of us again as a more whole being, it changes our identity. And any change in our identity can result in a very specific set of what we might call symptoms. And if you looked at an identity crisis, you'd see the same set of symptoms, feelings of disorientation, depression, disassociation, feelings like you might die soon. There's a whole list of feelings you can go through as a result of retrieving such an aspect of yourself. And for the person who undertakes retrieving aspects of self, I think it's very important that they understand really what they're doing and the likely impact, how to recover from that impact, and what it means to do this. I taught the first two workshops for a number of years and then encountered a spontaneous, in an ordinary workshop, a woman spontaneously recovered a part of herself, retrieved an aspect of herself from childhood that she described as her childhood innocence. At some point when she was a little girl, for some reason, she was not able to hang on to her childhood innocence anymore and spun it off as an aspect. And during an ordinary retrieval exercise, she was guided by her helper to retrieve that aspect of herself, to sort of bring that childhood innocence part of her that she had spun off back into herself to reintegrate. And it was a fascinating process. It turned out that she was a psychotherapist. And I maintained contact with her for a little over a month after the workshop. She was in the San Francisco Bay Area. And she described that what she was going through was the sort of thing that she might work for months or years with a client for them to be able to recover that part of themselves and integrate that part of themselves into their identity to be a more whole person. And that for her, this thing happened in a space of the initial recovery in a space of minutes, and by the end of about 30 days, she felt she had fully integrated that back into herself. Mm. So I would say that with proper training, this is something that can be done. Now, when that spontaneous one happened, I thought, well, you know, that seemed to really be a good thing to do. I think I'm going to develop an exercise, and in the next workshops that I give, I'm going to do a retrieving an aspect of self exercise to encourage people to have this experience. And the result was so dramatic that I stopped teaching that and didn't teach it again for probably 8 years. Because in the one workshop that I taught the exercise, three people retrieved aspects of themselves, and the change in their identity was so strong that it completely disrupted their ability to function. And in one woman's case, she got home from the workshop and she literally sat in a chair doing nothing because she couldn't get out of the chair for like 2 days. That scared me. But as I follow along with her, again by phone and by email over a period of a couple of weeks, what I saw was that she began to integrate this part of herself. It turned out that when she was a very little girl, maybe somewhere between the ages of 2 and 4, she evidently had some rather strong psychic abilities. And she began to tell her parents and her siblings and her relatives about future events that were going to happen that then did indeed happen. Which would have been fine, except that the religion of her family was a religion that believed that this sort of activity was the work of the devil. And so every time she did anything like that, she was severely punished and told not to do this anymore. And somewhere about the age, somewhere age 2 to 4, she spun off that aspect. She fragmented that part of herself away and locked it up in a cave. And during the workshop, she was guided by her helper to that aspect of herself and took that aspect back into herself. And she basically went from a strongly fundamentalist Christian housewife to a full-blown, fully capable psychic in minutes. And so all of a sudden, she's knowing things are going to happen, and then they're happening, and you can see the sort of thing would happen to a person.
Yeah.
You could think you're going crazy. I guess to try to sum up and not carry this on too much longer, I would say that without any training at all, it's probably best not to do this unless you get some sort of guidance to do this. I think it's best not to do this. That you at least need some training, and that's what the third workshop gives, is it gives some training and some understanding of what you're doing. Plus, you've already been through the first two workshops, and you've encountered enough things that have changed your identity and your beliefs that it's a little easier to handle. Trying to hide the darkness, I couldn't agree with doing that.
No. So, but it's mostly the aspects of self that can cause these identity crises. I mean, retrievals of other people is not something that you usually warn about. I mean, you do it.
And there are times when I trust helpers. I mean, you might call them angels, you might call them guides or spirit guides. I use a generic term, helper. And so everything that's done in my workshop, in terms of your experiences during the exercises, is left to your own helpers and guides to determine what's best for you and what's best not done yet. And so, yeah, there are some people who, in a first workshop, may encounter something that conflicts with their beliefs. And it's a long discussion, but essentially, when you have an experience that conflicts with your beliefs, there's a connection between your beliefs and your identity that can cause this belief system crash or identity crisis. And so occasionally, people in a workshop will have such an experience, but I haven't had anybody end up in a psych hospital yet. Maybe I shouldn't say yet. and nobody's sued me for damage.
And you live in a country where people would actually do that.
Oh. We now have advertised on television, there's an attorney who gets on television and says, if you need an attorney, pick up your cell phone and dial pound, the number 4, and the word law. Pound for law. On your cell phone, no, pound for law. If you're in an accident waiting for the ambulance, dial pound for law. If you're in the ambulance and can call, once you arrive at the hospital, you know, he doesn't say this, but it's almost to the point where, you know, we can have a lawyer meet your ambulance in the emergency room. People in this country are looking for a way to make money, and lawyers are really high on the list of those. And, yeah, this is a very, very, this culture, people sue.
But that's a whole other discussion, I guess.
Yeah, a little off the discussion. But I hope there's a special place for all those lawyers. And I hope they end up defending themselves in court for a long time. Oh, that was not a nice thing to say, Bruce. Well, I don't care. It's okay to say it. It is okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't say, what?